Father, we come to you this morning. We just thank you that you love us so much, and we thank you that our names are written in the book of life. And Lord, guide us this morning in this time of prayer, and how much we do have to pray for. Above all else, Lord, help us to focus on our rejoicing that our names are written in the book of life. And Lord, that is the only real issue of the whole purpose of our being is, where will we and others spend eternity, Lord? And Lord, we spend so much time on so many other miscellaneous things that don't amount to much at all. But that is so critically important, and so, Lord, help us. Guide us as we look at your word this morning at another very amazing prayer and prayer of Stephen, the martyr, and so guide us in this time, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Sing the first and last verse again this week of number 15, Oh, to be like thee. There's so many different hymns, but sometimes there's kind of a shortage of hymns that really get to the issue of some of these prayers. But let's sing the first and last verse here, because we want to be like our Lord. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling. Fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. You know, thinking about stamping the image of Christ on our heart and thinking about filled with the Spirit, it just reminds me of this prayer today of Stephen in the book of Acts. Let's turn to, if you have your Bibles, to chapter 7. Of the book of Acts. This is the last part of Stephen's testimony. And you know, it was just a very short time before this, really, that the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And as Peter spoke to the crowd there in Jerusalem, including, I'm sure, some of these very same people that we're reading about today, they were cut to the heart and they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent." And of course, there were many that came to the church. We'll see another group today cut to the heart, but cut to the heart in the opposite direction, really, it seems like. Because in verse 54, let's start out in verse 51. Stephen is starting to come down on him. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute, and they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels that have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. That's the same word there as sawn asunder. And we read in Hebrews 11, you know, that some of them were sawed asunder. We think Isaiah was sawed asunder for his faith. But here is this same tragic being cut to the heart, but it's in the wrong direction here. And they come at Stephen, gnashing at him with their teeth. It's like, oh, if we could just chew your flesh up and spit you out. It's just so filled with anger. But look at Stephen in verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, oh, the power of the Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus. Amazing. This is the only place I was able to find where we see the glory of God coupled with Jesus. The glory of God, the glory is given over 100 times in the scripture. But here we have not only seeing the glory of God, but he visually sees, or no, not physically probably, but visually sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. We know the scriptures all tell us he ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, but here we actually have kind of a confirmation, a sense, as Stephen sees Jesus, and here he is standing. He's really welcoming him, it would seem, standing at the right hand of God, and Stephen says, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now, if you're a mob trying to kill somebody for standing for the Lord, and the more you try to kill them and the more you try to go after them, the more peace they have. It just is driving this mob into just terrible frenzy. It would be like a wild bull caught in a net, so to speak. They're just going crazy now. They cast him out of the city and they stone him. They stopped their ears and they ran at him with one accord, crying with a loud voice. And they laid the clothes at the feet of Paul, Saul, at this point. First mention of him in the Bible. And what an impact this prayer, which we're going to look at here from Stephen, must have been. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, he's got a twofold prayer here. The first part is for himself. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice. This is even more intense, more intense prayer with a loud voice. Lord, do not charge them with this sin. So we see here, oh, to be like thee, really, because is this not like our Lord? As he is saying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So he says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Meaning he died, he took his last breath, probably a mortal blow. But we see the power of the Spirit, and we see what a total contrast to what our Lord and Savior went through on the cross, because our Lord and Savior did not have the Father or the Spirit assisting him, because he was representing your sin and my sin, and therefore was rejected by the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? But this is what all believers can look forward to. He will receive you, he will strengthen you, and he will give you the power, the strength you need in time of need. And we see really two great forces here, don't we? We see enmity with God causing death and darkness and violence, and we see that the love of God, or the filling with his Spirit, bringing light and life, and regardless of the circumstances. So I was looking at a couple of prayers of some martyrs, and a couple of them caught my mind here. I just wanted to read them to you if I could. One is the year 1015, so that's 1,200 years ago. Boris of Kiev, he was the son of Vladimir, the first Christian prince of Kiev. He was put to death in 1015 by his eldest brother, Sviatopolk, who was an enemy of the new faith. But here was Boris's prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world as a man and suffered your passion, allowing your hands to be nailed to the cross for our sins, give me the strength to endure my passion. It comes not from my enemies, but from my own brother. Yet, Lord, do not account it to him as sin. And then another prayer, this is anonymous, this was found in the clothing of a dead child at the Ravensbrück concentration camp in World War II. That was one of the most notorious. It was basically a women and children's camp where they did all these medical experiments, just terrible, terrible things. But here's what this prayer was in this dead child's clothing. O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. Do not remember all of the suffering they have inflicted on us. Instead, remember the fruits we have borne because of this suffering. Our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown from this trouble. Remember that when our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all of these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. Now that's a prayer, isn't it? Are we willing to die for him? And maybe even a more pertinent question, are we willing to live for him? And what can we do as we live for him? And probably at the top of the list is pray, I would think, and to be the witness that he would have us to be. And so here we are gathered here this morning, and we have that opportunity to pray. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this prayer of Stephen's and a prayer like you, Lord Jesus. A prayer even at the time of the heightened aspect of what would normally be physical fear of having a mob coming upon you and killing you, and yet looking and seeing you, Lord Jesus, and crying out, Father, forgive them. In effect, they know not what they do, or do not lay this to their account. And so, Father, it is so humbling just to think of what your saints have gone through, go through, and are going through even this day around the world. And Lord, we don't see any of them saying, take it away, I don't think, but rather strengthen them, and through their death and through their life for you, may many come to you, and may they turn, and may they be granted forgiveness. And so, Lord, as we pray this morning for this Christ-rejecting world, it's the same thing over and over again, it would seem. So lead us in this time of prayer and help us to examine ourselves. Where do we stand with regard to dying for you? Where do we stand with regard to our living for you? And where do we stand with regard to praying with fervency and effectiveness, Lord? Where do we stand with regard to praying with you at all, really? So Lord, lead us. We have these opportunities here, and here's one this morning to pray, and pray as one. And so as you lead us by your Spirit, may we just pray with effectiveness and with thanksgiving, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.